Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer before we start. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name again. And we realize that we are a very blessed people. We have much to be thankful for. And you are a very good God, the only true God, the Almighty God, the Creator and Sustainer. That's who you are. And we are your people, willingly and gladly. And we pray this morning now as we come to you as our God, and we are your people, accepted by you, that you would bless us with your presence, that you would make yourself real to us in our own hearts today, more real than you have in the past. And that's not because of some weakness on your part. That's because we desire to know you more, know who you are. We desire, Father, to honor you and to worship you, to glorify you. We desire that you would be able to fulfill in us the things you desire to fulfill. And may it be, Lord, that we do accomplish all that you'd like us to, all that is our duty and responsibility to accomplish. Help us, Lord, in all of our life, all of our ways. Be with us this morning. May your name be praised, your name honored, your ways honored. That's our desire this morning, and we are unworthy to come to you on our own merit, but we come on the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Because of what he is, what he did and who he is, we bow before you. We love you, and you are good. Amen. Many of you know, some of you may not, that we were caught in this computer glitch that happened. We were in Portland, Oregon, sitting on the plane, and they came over. They told us on the plane there's a problem with the computer on the plane here, and we need to get it fixed before we can go. I don't know how long later, several times throughout that time we were sitting there on the plane, they said, okay, we'll leave at an hour later. And then they said, we'll leave an hour later than that. And then finally they said, we won't leave till 5 hours after we had planned to leave. But they said, before that, since it's going to be that long, we're going to let you deplane and we're going to get it fixed, and then we'll be on our journey. I'm not sure exactly how it went, but we found out then that it was something worldwide. It was a worldwide glitch. Some of the security update that they put on there, it didn't work right somehow, and so they had to take all that off before it could start working again. My only point in saying that is this. Then, of course, that meant we spent a lot of hours. We couldn't get on the next flight 24 hours later, the same flight 24 hours later. It was already full. So about 12 hours after that, 10 hours after that, they got us on a flight. So we was sitting there for 34 hours in the airport. And we thought about going somewhere else, of course, and we finally decided we'd just stay there. And so we just learned to know the Portland airport really well. Did a lot of walking. But as I stand here and look out at you, and I think I can say this without judgment, you're very different than the people we've been looking at the last several hours. Now, I'll say this, at least you look different. But I believe you are different. It's quite a blessing. You're right, Brother Anthony. The children and we are all very blessed. Quite different. quite different. And I'm not going to describe or explain some of the things we saw and some of the things, feelings we had, some of the experiences we had there. But I look out at you. How different would it have been if in all of our time we spent in the airport around people like you? Oh. Maybe I'll just leave it there. I don't know. It's quite different out there in the world than it is here. And we don't take it for granted. We try not to. Neither do we think that we are so much better than they are, that we've attained to a certain level of acceptance with God more than they do. Not at all. They could have the same thing we have. Many of them don't. So I just say that to just, I mean, I don't know, I can't give to you the feelings that I could have, that I have, we have, to be able to be in your midst this morning compared to where we were there in the Portland airport. But it's quite different. I believe the Bible. I believe what it says. My life, I like to think, at least I attempt to, I try to base my life on what this book says. I have no question that this is the best thing I could do in my life, for my life. Nothing can take away the truth that's in this book. It'll be true. It has been true. It is true. It'll always be true. It won't change. The question is, how am I going to live this out? How am I going to, do I believe this? How am I going to show it? My message this morning is simple one, again. Simply this. And I'm going to tell you why I want to preach this message. But this message is, the title is, God is good. And we all know that. I'm not going to tell you anything new this morning. You all know that. His character is good. His motives are good. There's nothing but good in him. He has nothing but good in mind. Everything he does or allows is good. No evil. No ulterior motives that he's trying to do this to get this. He's good in every way. And the purpose of this message this morning is just simply to honor him. If I were to talk to you about Abraham Lincoln, for example, I would tell you all of his good traits, but he would have some that weren't so good. I very much respect the way he worked through the whole issue of the North divided from the South and bringing that all together and how he worked through that. I respect that. In his kingdom, he did what was good, right? But he had some faults in him too. Some of his faults were, he would, so to speak, if you'll scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. In other words, if you'll do this for me, or I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. And it wasn't always, and there was a motive behind it. He wasn't always good. That's Abraham Lincoln. And I could probably talk about some of you, maybe all of you, talk about all of the good traits I know about you. And probably, if you were honest, you'd say, Brother Mark, but there are some things that you don't know, you haven't talked about. That's not good. That's man. This is God. This is Almighty God. This is the God that created all things. This is the God that sustains all things. This is the God that makes this world go. He said it. He set it in motion. He created it. And that's the way it is. This is God. And this is God someday that you and I will stand before someday. And he's going to judge where you spend eternity. Now I know that's maybe there's lots of things go with that. But ultimately he's the one who decides. Not me. He does. And he's good. Everything he does is good. And every judgment he makes is good. It is nothing but good. Perfect. I just want to paint a picture to you, a little bit if I can, how good God is. There's no evil in Him. He never made a mistake. He never says, uh-oh, what do I do now? God never does that, and He never will. In fact, God knew the end before the beginning. If he didn't know that, then there would be something bigger than Him, and there's nothing bigger than God. This is Almighty God. And I have showed you and painted you a very, very poor picture of who He is. I am sure of that. Just because, the reason I say that is because if I could comprehend God and I could explain Him, then He would be within my reach, within my realm. I could understand Him and I would be like Him. I cannot. He is bigger than us. The purpose of the message is to show God's goodness so that we can, as we walk through our life, we can always look at God is still good, regardless what happens. Regardless, I might be criticized, I might be corrected, I might be rebuked, whatever it may be, God is still good. He's still good. That's one of the points and the purposes of this message. And if we will believe that, if we can get a hold of that and not doubt God's goodness, we will honor Him. We'll give Him praise. He'll say, well done, that's my children. And He will someday give us a reward for that. That's up to Him, though. But what that will also do, if I can get a hold of how good God is, without complaint, with accepting everything He does as good, then out of my life, the way I will respond to my trials will be with joy and grace. If I get a hold of this fact that God is good, and everything He brings into my life or allows into my life, it's good. He didn't bring anything there to... He didn't allow anything into my life because He wanted to hurt me because He likes to hurt me. He may do that, but it's for one purpose. For me to see how good He is. God is good. First, like I've already said, before I can convince you of God's goodness, or are we to be convinced of God's goodness, I must believe the Bible. I must have faith in what the Bible says. I must have faith in what He says, what I read in here, I must have faith in that. Faith is believing what I cannot see or feel. I have faith that God is. I've never felt God, I've never seen God, literally. But I believe He is. And I believe that He's good. I believe that. I believe what He says is true. It will happen. It will come to pass. It will be what He says. I believe this also in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For why we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I have to have faith to believe that our light affliction, my light affliction, is but for a moment. And to believe that God sees everything, He knows everything, and all He allows in my life is good. He can make it work out together for good. But I must believe. Hebrews says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and His rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seeking after God. In Proverbs, he says, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips will be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. This is the goodness of God. This is God. Jesus said one time, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'm going to believe that that is no less true about God. Whatever he speaks, what's in his heart, he speaks. And it's nothing but good. With this in mind, we can then interpret all of Scripture from a right and proper principle. If I have the tendency to question whether or not God is good, whether or not what he says is true, then I am on a foundation built of sand. A little temptation, a little trial, a little water, a little flood, a little few storms, it's all going to wash away. But I must first believe that if what God said is in his heart, and his heart is nothing but good, then everything he says is good. And so when I read the Bible, I can interpret everything in here from that principle that God is good. One of the things we first need to do as we begin our walk of life, as we come to the age of accountability, when we realize that I have a responsibility to God, one of the first things we need to do is know him. We need to come to him and find out who he is. We need to accept what he has done for us. That's one thing that has to happen. We will never be born again. We will never come to know God. We will never come to know Jesus Christ, his son, until we are willing to believe that what he says is true, that he is good. First and foremost, we must settle that question. Whether it's intellectually or experientially, whether it's because I know in my head he is good, or it's because of the things I have experienced, we need to accept. And you know, sometimes it's a little bit difficult sometimes to the things we see, the things we experience, and say, how can God allow that? How is God good with that? That's a good question. We'll answer that later on. But whether I know it in my head or whether I experience it in my life, it is important for us to recognize, first of all, that regardless what happens, that God is in control of all things, and there's nothing happened but what he's in control of, and his motive is always good, never wrong. Never wrong. I said we must begin to have faith. We must begin with faith. I have to believe and then seek understanding. If I try to understand before I have faith to believe that God is good, I'm going to have a difficult time. And I'm going to have a hard time seeing some of these things and seeing that they're good. But if I first believe that God is good, then I seek understanding of why things are the way they are, or why this is in my life, or why this is not in my life, then I have a solid foundation to stand on. If I first begin with faith and then seek understanding, not try to understand without believing first that God is good. So, we settle in our hearts. And I'm not telling you anything new. We settle in our hearts. God is good. Period. Settle that. We have inherited from Adam a nature that is subject to temptations and a mind that hears the same lies that Adam and Eve heard when they were back there in the garden. He said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. That's a lie. But he said it. He said it boldly. He was wrong. He said it, and he said it boldly, and it was wrong. We've got the same nature within us. That as we tend to view life, as we have life, same nature needs to be dealt with. That nature is that We're subject to those things. We all understand that. We all have our temptations. We all have our questions. We all have our struggles. We all have our failures. That's a fact. We've inherited that from Adam. That very inheritance, on that tragic day, there in the Garden of Eden, that very inheritance is the thing that we have to deal with. What am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with that? We must first, I emphasize, believe with faith before we try to understand how God does things. Now, I want to make a statement, and you're going to agree with me, but I'm going to build on this statement a bit. It says, neither people nor circumstances change or affect the character of God. No circumstances that happen to me, no person I know, none of their actions, none of the things they may say or do change the character of God or the goodness of God. And I say that because you all know it. You've heard, maybe you haven't heard, but you've heard of people that say, all those people in the church are hypocrites. Christianity is not for me. I'm saying, whether they're hypocrites or not, it doesn't change the fact that God is good. So when you look around you and you say, oh, how could he do that and still be a Christian? And how does this all this work with God and all that? I'm saying to you, that doesn't change the character of God. That doesn't change the character of God, the goodness of God. In fact, well, hypocrisy does not change the goodness of God. And circumstances that are less than favorable are opportunities for us to prove the goodness of God, not opportunities to disprove it. Circumstances, whatever they are, be they good, obviously you can worship God and praise God for that. Be they bad circumstances, it's an opportunity to prove the goodness of God, not to disprove His goodness. In other words, we have some bad things happen to us. Do we look at that and say, oh, so that's how God is? No, that's not what they're for. They are for to see what good there is. They're opportunities for us to prove the goodness of God by trusting Him. Because we can trust Him. There's nothing that happens to us that I cannot say, that can work out together for good some way. There is a way that I can look at any circumstance, whatever it is, and I can say, there's something good in that. This is not God's ungoodness. I don't know what the opposite of goodness is, His badness. This is God's goodness. I can trust that. Neither people nor circumstances change or affect the character of God. So I ask the question, how can God allow such horrific things to happen to people? And there are some horrific things has gone on, and I'm not even going to tell you what they were or are and are going on today out there in the world, out there in the devil's kingdom. There are some really bad things, things that are exactly the opposite of what God wants to happen. They are the result of sin. That's why God does not appoint, I don't know how to say this, everything, okay, the evil that's in the world is not because God is evil. It's because the devil is evil. It's because of sin. That's why the evil is in the world. That's why bad things happen to good people, because of sin. Not because they're bad and they deserve it necessarily, but because of sin. If I can recognize that, you know, I can get a hold of the fact that it's because of sin that these things happen, then I don't blame God for it. It's because of sin, whatever they are. God isn't always fair in our idea of fairness. Obvious one you all think of probably is Job. Job was a perfect and upright man, the scriptures say, but yet all these bad things happened to him. We all know the story of that. But, you know, why does God allow some people to be sick and some people not? Why does God allow some people to prosper and some people don't? Why does God allow some people to have an easier life and some people don't? Why are we in our situation where we are? We're here sitting here. We're extremely blessed. We have so much luxury around us. And even if we're sick, we have a lot of medical help that can do a lot. It doesn't give life, but it does do a lot. I mean, we have a lot. We're sitting here, and so why is it fair that we have it and they don't? I'm not sure I've totally accomplished this, and I'm not sure God is all done with me or you. But when we do go through a trial, what is our prayer? It's not wrong, and I pray this myself, or through a sickness, whatever it may be, I pray this myself, Lord, could you heal me? Could you heal my wife? Could you heal my son, my daughter? Would you? I'm asking you for that. I think that's right. It's like a child coming to a father, and the child, I remember one time there was a situation where it was impossible to happen, but I declared to my brothers, well, Daddy could do it. He couldn't do it. My point is, that's the way a child can come to a father and say, this father can do it. Our father can do it. So what I'm saying is this. I haven't said what I wanted to say. I've prayed before, and like I said, I don't know that I have totally accomplished this. Lord, in the middle of this trial, don't take it away until I've learned what you want me to learn. Lord, don't take this away till I have learned what you want me to learn. You know why I can pray that? And you can pray it too. Because God is good. He has nothing but good in mind. I can trust him for that. How do I know that God is good? Is God's character ever worthy of challenge? Is it ever right to question his character that he's always good? Obviously, the answer is no. But in our humanity, sometimes we do ask those questions. Sometimes we, even if we don't say them out loud, even if we don't really just think the thoughts, there can still be lingering in the back of our mind, I don't understand this. And where is God? And I've prayed and he said he would move mountains for me. Why not? Why doesn't he? Well, I think there's several ways. I wrote down three here that we can know that without a doubt, God is good. It's not like, and in some senses, it takes faith, I guess. But in some senses, what I'm going to say doesn't even take faith because we can see the reality of it. One, this word has, and all the aspects of the Bible about whether it's written over however many years by however many authors and whatever else thing you want to look at that can prove that it's true, it still is true that what we're reading here, what he has said will happen, and we've seen it happen. The things he says will happen do happen. You can read in the Old Testament there, and all the prophets or all the blessings and cursings that God did for the children of Israel. He said, if you'll do this, I'll bless you. If you'll do this, I'm going to curse you. And it happened time and time and time again. That's one way I know that he is worthy of trust, that he is good. And number two, his actions in history show his righteousness. By this, I mean to bring it all down to the greatest example there could ever be was Jesus Christ. That he is the epitome of his goodness, of what he'll do for us. I know that he will because he did that. And then I've already talked about this a bit, but faith. It proves his goodness. When I am willing to, by faith, believe, like I said already, now I'm standing on a solid foundation. The things that happen to me, I can trust, is good. A little illustration. And it may break down, but and I'm sure it does, all illustrations do, because there's nothing to really illustrate God and the goodness of God. But I looked at the sun, as we have it here. It's God's goodness is a little like the sun in this way. It's light. Its light gives life. So does God. The light of the sun shines down here, and it does, you know, on the trees. It has this photosynthesis thing, and it makes the trees live, and plants grow, and so therefore we have life. Life without the sun could not exist. So it is with God. In fact, the angle of its rays coming down on the earth either allows hot or cold. As the earth rotates on its axis, that 15-degree change there, that's what makes the, when it's around here, it's hot, and around here, it's cold. We're hitting a little different angle. Hot, cold. That's why we have what we have as far as cold and heat. And because of that light coming down, we have life. The sun has a cleansing effect. Same way with God. For example, my wife hangs her whites out on the line, and they get whiter. Probably the colors get lighter too, I suppose. But it gets whiter. It has a cleansing effect. That's what the sun does. That's what the light of the sun does to your laundry. Sometimes there's clouds that block out the sun. Those clouds can be just simply, they can water us, they can shade us, they can do all those things. It's all a part it's all a part of life, and as the sun shines down, some of these things do block him out, but they're for our good. Clear skies, no clouds. We look at the plants, they need the water, they need the shade, they need the night, but they also need the sun, they need the light, they need the day. Clear skies. Once we have plenty of water, we saw around here, and while I was gone, I guess you had a lot of water, but when we were leaving, the corn was all curling up. It was trying to protect itself. It was all standing up like spikes, spiking, we used to call it. That's because the sun was shining down on it, and it needed some water. The water came. Now it needs sunshine to grow again. We need God. You know, we look out there and we see multitudes of stars, and they tell us that's just suns. Our sun is just simply a star, closest star to us. It's why we have our light and all these things. But there's lots of stars out there. But the fact of the matter is, the closest star is the one that will help you. The one that gives us life. The closest star, and that is our sun. Same way with our God today. Our closest star is God. There's no other gods out there. I know the illustration breaks down out there, but because we let that, if we acknowledge that, and that sun is like our God, and he is able to warm us, fill us, feed us, cleanse us, God is able to do all of those things. Maybe illustration could be made better, but it's one thing we thought of. Some of the scriptures that tell us that God is good, I have a whole bunch of them here. I'm not going to read them all. Let me start with Exodus 34. He says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." He's a good God. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. In Chronicles, he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." We look at Psalm 23, and we could go down through there and look at all those things. Everything about that thing, everything about that psalm talks about the goodness of God. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Wow. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Whether that says he's going to supply all of our needs, which he will, and he will. Also, it says that I have a choice to make. I'm going to be satisfied with what he gives. "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm going to be satisfied with what he gives, and what he gives is what I need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He goes on and says, He restoreth my soul. He gives me those things I need. This is God. This is the goodness of God. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Again, we're here. God is good. And we're talking about this and thinking about this because we want to worship Him and acknowledge that He is almighty and He's good. Nothing but good. Yea, he says, David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In other words, I walk through those places where it looks like there's no hope and life is going to flee. I'd about as soon die. He says, yet, because God is good, because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not be afraid. I'll not be afraid. He takes care of me, prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Amen. It's truly, surely true with us. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell there in the house of the Lord forever. That's what I will do. Psalm 31. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Psalms 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Isaiah 26, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 41, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is what God's doing. This is what God says he will do. Lamentations, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Nahum says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. In the New Testament, then, we come down here in Matthew 7. Jesus says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. John 3:16, y'all know that one. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the goodness of God. And as we think about these things, why would we ever complain? Really? Oh, it may not be what my flesh likes. That's probably why we complain. But when we look at how good God is, and he is nothing but good, and all his promises, Romans, Paul tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To be able to prove the will of God. To be able to prove the acceptable will of God. To be able to prove the perfect will of God. To be by being transformed into his image. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants us to be. And we can be. I'm going to try to get a little more practical. People or circumstances do not change the goodness of God. In our times of question, we might say, why, Lord, why? Whatever your situation may be, maybe you've been there, and you ask the Lord, why? In a spirit of, why is this happening to me? Or why did you let that happen? Or just why? Remember, no circumstances change the character of God or the goodness of God. In our times of doubt, doubting maybe whether God is good, or doubting whether it's true that God is who he says he is, or even doubting, will he really save me? Me? Remember, nothing changes the character of God. He's always good. In our times of fear, afraid that someone I love may die. Well, what if I die? What if my husband or my wife should die? What if I had financial failure or I lost my job? Remember, those circumstances don't change the goodness of God or the character of God. And we can trust Him. Maybe you have times of discouragement, maybe even self-pity. Not, all of us know we shouldn't pity ourselves. We shouldn't have self-pity. All of us know that discouragement is not a good thing. But what about those times? It just seems like everybody else prospers and I don't. Or I can't do anything right. It doesn't change the character of God. It doesn't change the character of God. You might feel sometimes like life is unfair. Why does this happen to happen to me? Or times of feeling neglected or forgotten by somebody, or somehow I'm missing out or got passed over some way. I didn't get the credit I deserved. God is still good. Nothing changes His goodness. We are His subjects. We are His people. We're His children. And we don't have to. And that's why it matters that we always acknowledge that God is good. It is a slap in His face. It is a sin to think anything but that God is good. Maybe in our times of loneliness, or at times of being misunderstood. Maybe he was falsely accused. God is still good. None of that changes the fact that God is good. Maybe in your times of deep disappointment, this isn't the way I wanted life to turn out, Lord. I wanted to be different than this. The fruit or result of the Spirit of God living in me, it's goodness, it's joy, it's peace. You might say, in our times of disappointment, deep disappointment, but Lord, I wanted to marry. God is still good. Or I didn't want my marriage to turn out this way. Or maybe this needs a little interpretation. I'll say it, and then if it needs interpretation, I'll explain it. A white picket fence, Lord, I wanted to go on the mission field. You know, the picture of the house behind a little white picket fence, and everything's neat and everything's mowed up and everything's neat, and the barns are neat, and whatever else is there is just pristine. That's what I mean by a white picket fence. I'm not criticizing that at all. I'm just simply saying you may have that when you wanted a life on the mission field. I don't know. But God had different thing in mind. God is always good. Life will have trials. Life will have disappointments. Life will have hard things to deal with. It will have it. And we all can probably experience that and have experienced that. And you do have those things. I know you do. I do. I didn't want to have heart surgery. I don't want to have a problem with my heart. That's the last thing I wanted. Not quite, probably, but it's not what I wanted, but here it is. I don't want my wife to have cancer. And those times she laid there and hardly able to breathe during COVID, she'd call me and say, I can't hardly breathe. God was still good. And He always will be. I believe that just because it has to be this way in some ways, ultimately God will prove Himself to all souls, everyone, that He's everything He said He is. And He'll prove that in Him is no evil or imperfection. It has to be that way because that's what He is. God said to Paul one time, and in one of his light affliction times. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And you all know this. "My strength is made perfect in weakness." So Paul responds with a beautiful response. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So those things that might happen to us, things in our heart aren't easy. God wants us to say, "Good, then I'll glory in those things. I'll be glad for those things, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, that I can explain, that I can expose, that I can show to others the goodness of God." I know, that seems a little bit pie in the sky. It seems a little bit, really? It's where we want our heart to go. Yes, I accept it. He says, "I take pleasure in those things for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul says, God says through Paul, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And he says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. And again, I quoted this verse earlier, but I'm going to quote it again. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That says we can look at the goodness of God. We could look at those things that we can't see. Those intentions of God. Those motives of God. As he allows these things, whatever they may be in our life, we can look at those things and say, I can't see all this. I can't see all the reasons. I can't see all those things. But those things work for us, he says, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what they do. Nothing changes the goodness of God. Nothing. God is good. And he always will be. He cannot be anything different than that. You can depend on it. Let's kneel before God for prayer. Lord, I don't know if I feel like we've done a very inadequate job of explaining your goodness, because it exceeds even our comprehension, I believe. It exceeds even what we can think or imagine. But what we come before you now, Lord, to say is that we accept that you are good and there's nothing but good in you. And we accept that you are giving to us or not giving to us, whatever the circumstances may be, out of your goodness. There's no evil heart in you. There's no retaliation. You did this to me, so I'm going to do this to you. It's not there. Your motives are always and eternally good. Your purposes, your very nature is good, not evil. It's not bad. There's nothing evil in you. There's no bad in you. Nothing but good. You're pure. You're the same thing all the way through. You are. This morning, Lord, we just honor you with that. We just bless you and just praise you. We just want to somehow, if there is a little worship, a little praise, a little honor goes to you by us acknowledging that you are good, then that's what we want to do. And Father, in those times of our trials or humanity. There's times when we are just at the bottom. Help us to remember, Lord, that you're always good. You're always good. Whether we are sitting in a dungeon cell like some of those men did back there years ago and probably are even today for your sake. And I know that's easy for us to say, but whether we're there, you're still good. Can be nothing but good. Or we're sitting in our homes with plenty of food, plenty of shelter and clothing and protection, comfortable. Could hardly ask for more. You're still good. Not in those times that it's hard. So, Father, we worship you this morning. Thank you for being good. Nothing but good. And help us somehow, Lord, to remember the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The eternal goodness of who you are. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your word. It tells us who you are, and you've proven it time and time again. Thank you for those things, Lord. We pray then that you would help us to live our lives from that perspective that God is always good and we're trusting him. Help us to live our lives from that perspective, Lord. Thank you for your son, the epitome of goodness. Thank you for the hope we have because of him. Thank you, Father, that we have the Holy Spirit and for that conscience within us that pricks us from time to time about how we live. Do we really show forth who God really is by our life? And sometimes we may not. Pray you would forgive us of those things. Help us to see those things coming and just reject them. And to live a life of joy and peace because of the goodness of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.